Till Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Dotson is free at the 45-40, at the 35-30, inside the 30 to the 25-yard line after the short pass.
Third down, end zone, touchdown, Torrey Hart, the hat trick in Fort Collins.
Look at this, loose in the end zone, it's going to be a touchdown for Wyoming.
Football Friday. Welcome back into the Allo Communications Studios. My name is Angel Padilla, filling in for Brady all for the day. So we're going to be wrapping up the whole show. Thank you to Brady for giving me this opportunity. I very much appreciate it. Getting my feet wet on the other side of the studio booth. Feeling good in front of the big microphone. Big chair. Got the clock in front of me. This is great. Just an awesome opportunity. And we got football. I know we're still kind of just sad and down on ourselves about the Broncos last night, but let's move past that and let's get a little bit of hope. I want to give a little hope in this hour. So we're going to talk CU's on a bye this week. CSU at Nevada tonight. That'll be going on. UNC at Sacramento State. Can the Bears pull off something amazing? It would really be something. Sac State, of course, went into Fort Collins and beat the Rams a couple weeks ago. Rams aren't that good, so what does that say about Sac State? They're undefeated, one of the top teams in the FBS, so we'll be looking at that. Wyoming, believe they play New Mexico. That'll be a good game to watch there, as Wyoming trying to bounce back, trying to keep themselves in the Mountain West race. Air Force, the Falcons, they're going to be playing Utah State. Can the Falcons, obviously they had that one loss to Wyoming, still kind of picked as that favorite for the Mountain West right now. Obviously that rushing attack is very good, so we'll see if the Falcons of Air Force can bounce back. Full weekend of college football around the country, full weekend of NFL football. We're going to get into that in this hour as well. But first, there's another sport going on right now. It is October. It is the joining of all four major sports in this month. We'll have NFL. MLB is wrapping up, of course. The MLB playoffs started today. The first game of the day wrapped up. Tampa Bay Rays dropping the first game to the Cleveland Guardians, 2-1 in that one. Guardians 8 hits to Tampa's 3, so they take the first one in the AL wild card. Another game right now in the top of the fourth, the Phillies and the Cardinals. Our old friend Nolan Arenado with the Cardinals now. They're trying to get their playoff push started. 0-0 in the top of the fourth of that one. We'll keep an eye on those scores for the MLB playoffs. Looking ahead at this college football weekend, we are starting to just get into the swing of things. With college football, you're starting to see the good teams separate themselves from the bad teams. And we're going to look at a couple games that I've got my eye on this weekend, starting off with my team, my beloved Alabama Crimson Tide, playing host to Texas A&M, the Aggies, and Jimbo Fisher. You go back 3 months, this was the primetime game of the year that everybody was looking forward to. Saban's throwing out shots at A&M about buying recruits and all that. A&M firing back saying that they didn't, and that this was going to be a huge matchup in Tuscaloosa. It's a 6 o'clock game on CBS. We all expected College Game Day to go to this game, but with Texas A&M dropping a couple games now, this game's kind of lost its luster a little bit. So Alabama, they're a 24-point favorite at home in this one. I love them to cover that spread. I think Alabama is just going to roll A&M. Bryce Young hurt his shoulder in the game against Arkansas last week. He's a game-time decision, it looks like. So we'll see if the defending Heisman Trophy winner can lead Alabama in that one. If not, well, they just have another five-star quarterback backup, Jalen Milroe, who had a big game against Arkansas in the second half after Bryce Young went out in that one. Staying in the SEC, 4-0, number 8, Tennessee. How about the Volunteers? They're going to be on the road at LSU. Brian Kelly and his team coming off a win last week. They're 2-0 in SEC play, 25th in the country. Tennessee, 2.5-point favorites on the road, wearing their smoky gray uniforms. That's going to be a fun uniform matchup, at least. We'll see what happens there. College Game Day I mentioned earlier, they're heading to TCU in Kansas. Who would have thought? College Game Day heading to this one. TCU, the Horned Frogs, saw them against CU Buffaloes earlier this season. They're 4-0. Kansas, they're 5-0. I'm shocked that Kansas is undefeated at this point under a new coach. They're trying to get their program going, off to a great start so far. TCU, 6.5-point favorites in that one. I think I like Kansas at home. I think they had a lot of momentum coming into this game. College game day, the atmosphere is going to be great. Another SEC game, Auburn at Georgia. Georgia struggled with Missouri on the road last week. Game kind of came down to the last couple of possessions there. Georgia offense just looked completely asleep for most of that game. Auburn, they're coming off a tough loss to LSU. Can they get it going? It's going to be a tough game. I know that's a big rivalry for those two schools. A little Pac-12 action. Number 11, Utah on the road at number 18, UCLA. The Bruins not getting a lot of talk about them, but they're 5-0 on the year. Utah's 4-1. Can they be a little upset team against UCLA, upset that bid for the Pac-12? Let's see, another Pac-12 game. 4-1 Washington State on the road at number 6, USC. I personally didn't expect USC to be where they're at this point in the season. Obviously, you got a coaching change, quarterback change, and all of that stuff with the transfer portal. But USC, look at them. They're 5-0 within the top 10 of the country. They're going to look to defend home field. 13-point favorite there for the Trojans. Micah, I know this is your school, Washington. The Huskies, 4-1 on the year, 21 in the top 25 poll. They're on the road at Arizona State, a program that is down on their luck. They just fired Herm Edwards a couple weeks ago. Washington, 13.5-point favorite in this one.
Yes, they are, but Washington does not play that well against Arizona State, even when Arizona State is bad, and especially on the road. Arizona State, they're known for beating top 25 teams at home.
So there you have it. Just a couple of games that I'm going to be keeping my eye on. Obviously, I love college football. I grew up around college football in the Southeast, the heart of college football. Love that. Alabama hoping to get a win. All the schools, you know, just trying to fight. It's that point of the season where just nearing the halfway point, teams trying to separate themselves. Other teams like Kansas trying to just continue to shock the league and stay undefeated in college football. In terms of the NFL, it's another busy weekend. We have another London game. This is the second of four London games, I believe. This will be between the Giants and the Packers. Both teams 3-1 in this game. Packers coming off a very sloppy, ugly win over the Patriots last week. The Giants had started off 3-0. They took a loss. Daniel Jones might not play. Going to be interesting to see how this team bounces back. They did bring back Landon Collins, their safety that they drafted a few years ago. He bounced around the league. He is back with the Giants. So we're going to see how they do. Packers, 8-point favorites in that one. Let's see. We have the not a lot of weird matchups this week. The Eagles and the Cardinals. Eagles still the only undefeated team left in the NFL. They're at 4-0. Jalen Hurts, my guy, is just lighting it up there with Devontae Smith. That defense is good. They're on the road at the Arizona Cardinals, taking on Kyler Murray. The Eagles, 5-point favorites on the road in that one. Going to be interesting. Can the perfect season end and keep the 72 Miami Dolphins perfect season alive? Hoping they can pop some champagne this weekend. And then Sunday Night Football, we have an AFC North matchup, the Bengals and the Ravens. Baltimore coming off just a bad loss to Buffalo. They had the lead. Lamar Jackson is going off, continuing his probable MVP campaign. They get to the second half, and they give up another big lead. That's twice now that Baltimore's lost a game like that. They're welcoming the Bengals. The Bengals fresh off that Thursday night win over the Dolphins. So we'll see. Can the Bengals keep going and defend their Super Bowl title or their AFC title, their Super Bowl run? Can they do it? Can they prove that it wasn't a fluke? You're starting to see that offense start to come back to its normal self. We'll see if Joe Burrow can take the Bengals into Baltimore and get a win. And then Monday night, AFC West. I know the Broncos are still kind of, you maybe not even want to watch this game, but the Raiders at the Chiefs on Monday night. Chiefs are 3-1. On the season. Raiders 1-3, of course, that one win over the Broncos. Chiefs are 7-point favorites in this one. I think it's going to be a huge, huge battle. I could see this game going back and forth. Can the Chiefs establish themselves as being back? They had that tough loss to Indianapolis a couple weeks ago, but then they respond with a beat down of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday night last week. So can the Chiefs, you know, kind of just put a stranglehold on the AFC West? I know it's early in the season. We still got a lot of games to play. But the Chiefs right now, they still look like the best team in the AFC West. Can't say much for the Raiders. Really can't say a lot for the Broncos. And the Chargers are still kind of unknown with all of their injury questions. So that's the NCAA weekend, the NFL weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at a couple preps games that we're going to be looking at tonight. I got a list of 12 games that I'm going to be keeping my eye on for scores throughout the evening, as well as the game we'll have right here on KFKA, Greeley West and Greeley Central. 1:16 the time. We'll be right back.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes past the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios here in Greeley, Colorado. Beautiful football Friday out there today. And guess what? It's Friday. It's football. That means KFKA is the place you need to be if you want high school football. We have Greeley West, Greeley Central tonight. A little in-town rivalry going down between those two schools. Excited to hear Kyle Johnson on the call there. Of course, I'll be in studio giving you the out-of-town scoreboard, as well as I'll be filling in for Football Night Northern Colorado. Excited for that. We're going to talk a little bit more about these high school games. Obviously, CSU and UNC playing this weekend. CU is on a bye. So let's take a look at this schedule of high school football games tonight. A few local teams, 12 teams I have here, or 12 games that I'm watching here. Berthoud, 4-1, they're going to be at Faith Christian on the road. Northridge, 5-0, undefeated, they're taking that record to Mountain View. They're 1-4 on the season. Greeley West and Greeley Central, the game you'll hear tonight on KFKA, both teams 1-5. So not great records, but in a rivalry game like this, you can throw the records out the window. This is about two teams that are within the same city. A lot of these kids and students know each other. Their families know each other. It's going to be a good rivalry. Can't wait to hear the call tonight. Valley, they're 2-3 on the season. They're going to be at Platte Valley. The Broncos, 2-3 on the season, looking to get another win there to get to 500. Wiggins, they're 3-2. They're on the road at Holyoke, 2-3 on the season. Rocky Mountain, they're at 3-3. They're on the road at Fort Collins. Fort Collins, 1-5 so far this year. Then we have the defending champions, the Eaton Reds. They're on the road at Fort Lupton. Fort Lupton, 3-2. Eaton, 4-1, looking to continue just their dominant football season. That's just a great program up there in Eaton. Not just football, but practically any high school sport, Eaton's probably got a pretty decent team. So keep an eye out for that one. University, the Bulldogs, 2-3 on the year. They're on the road at Weld Central, 1-4 in Weld Central is on the season. And then 3-2 Thompson Valley, they're at the Severance Silver Knights. Severance 2-3 on the year. Skyline, they're 4-2. They're on the road at Windsor. Let's go Wizards. They're 3-3 on the season, looking to get just over 500 there. Two more here. Monarch, they're 3-3. They're going to be at Erie tonight. Erie 2-4 on the season. And then a big matchup, the big local matchup here, Resurrection Christian at Roosevelt. Both teams 5-0. The Rough Riders have handled business week in and week out. Res Christian, they got a good streak going. Undefeated versus undefeated. Friday Night Football doesn't get any better than that. And that's high school football for Colorado. I'm excited to be back in the studio. I'm sure Kyle's going to be excited for his game tonight. And I just, it's so nice just to have football, whether it's on TV, whether it's on the radio, whether you're streaming it on your computer or your phone. It's just so nice to have this game. And I bring that up because we love this game so much as football fans, and we cannot ignore the injuries that happen in this league, in both college and high school and NFL. Injuries happen. It's a very violent sport. These are grown men. These are, you know, young adults. hitting each other on a play-in, play-out basis, there's going to be injuries. We saw it last night with the Colts running back Nyheim Hines. And, you know, I don't know if the NFL scripted this or what, but all week long we've been talking about the NFL's concussion protocols and stuff that they have to change, some new things that they're going to be implementing into their new protocols. And one of those was the symptom of gross motor instability, which is basically the body's inability to get balance, maintain itself, keep itself upright. We saw that with Nyheim Hines last night, he didn't look like he got hit that hard, but the hit him onto the ground. It looks like he hit his back and his head, similar to what happened to Tua last week. You see him trying to stand up, can't really find his balance. It looks like a Broncos trainer tried to grab him, and it looked like he thought he was getting tackled, tried to break the tackle there. And so that's a gross motor instability symptom that, according to the NFL's new protocols, that's an automatic no-go. That if a player exhibits those type of symptoms, they do take the concussion protocol test, but they are automatically ruled out regardless of that. And so this is a story that I've been focusing on the last couple weeks. Obviously, I am a Dolphins fan. I'm a huge fan of Tua Tagovailoa. And seeing, you know, his concussion on Thursday night, what happened on Sunday against the Bills, that whole situation, the NFL and NFLPA fired the independent neurologist that ran the test in conjunction with the Dolphins physical training staff. So that's a whole mess. They're still wrapping up their investigation. I know that Tua talked to the NFLPA either yesterday or Wednesday. He gave his two cents about what, you know, the protocol that he went through and all that. So hopefully we have an answer. It looks like the NFLPA is getting closer to finishing that investigation, and they have said they want to be as transparent as possible with this. So as soon as that investigation is finalized, we the public, we the fans, will get all that information. We're going to get a good inside look at to what the NFL's concussion protocols look like, what went wrong, who is to blame, or is there anyone to blame? Really, because, you know, they fired the independent neuro doctor. And if you look at it playing both sides here, if he is just given a test, if the NFL gives him, here's the concussion protocols as we have sat down and put them together, this is what you have to do for these players. If the doctor went through all those tests and he works with the team's training staff and their doctors, all these people are licensed. There's no, fake internet doctors or whatever. These are legit people. These are people that work for their licenses. These are people that put their license on the line every single time they look at a player or examine them. So I don't think there's this conspiracy that the Dolphins are trying to cover it up, or the Dolphins just want to win, so they put Tua back out there to, you know, regardless of player safety and all that. I don't buy that at all. I think these are two separate situations with Tua. One looked uglier than the other. One was on a primetime game. The other was in a game that a lot of people were watching. So, of course, it gets national attention. He's a quarterback. He's a very controversial quarterback in the league the last few years. So you hear Tua, everyone's ears perk up, and there, you know, that's the story. That's what we're going to run with. But as far as Tua goes, if you want to know about his health, he is doing fine. He announced this morning, Coach Mike McDaniel, Tua will not be going into IR. He will not be put on the IR list. So he will be eligible to play as soon as next week. The Dolphins did rule him out on Monday against for their game against the Jets. Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Bones, I know you Broncos fans, maybe you want Teddy back now. Well, too bad you can't have him because he's with Miami and he's taking on the New York Jets. Jets coming off a win last week. They're looking to get their season going. Sauce Gardner's talking smack to Tyreek Hill. Why? I just got to say, he's the fastest dude in the league. Don't give him more stuff to taunt at you and throw back in your face. Sauce Gardner, it's going to be burnt sauce this week, and I'm sorry. So that's just my thoughts on the concussion stuff. Obviously, we're going to continue to follow it. We'll see what the NFL investigation lets out, hopefully soon. I know they're trying to get these new protocol rules in place just for, you know, player safety and all that. But my main point is that concussions are going to happen in football. Injuries are going to happen in football. There's no way you're going to get rid of them. And Tua is not the first player to have a concussion. It may seem like that. The national media may put it out there like that. But this is not the first time it happened. I think he's going to be fine. You have people out here saying he needs to retire. I don't buy that. This kid's 24 years old. He's in the prime of his life. One concussion, two concussions. It's not the end of the world. Hopefully, all the best for him that he can get back soon. Yes, Micah.
I say he should retire when he wants to retire. He's not Jake Locker. Jake Locker, former first rounder, I thought he was an overrated first rounder, and I'm a Huskies fan. He retired because he had concussion issues. He retired because he felt it was right for him. Tua's, as far as I know, doesn't feel like it's right for him to retire. And if he retires because it feels like it's right for him, we should all support him. If he wants to continue to play, then we should all support him, unless there is something seriously wrong with him. Then hopefully he can be convinced to retire.
I agree. And, you know, we saw this kind of situation play out with Andrew Luck. We talked about it yesterday, you know, just previewing the Colts. Andrew Luck was going to be the next big thing in the NFL. He was going to be what Josh Allen is now, that big physical quarterback that could throw the ball, that could run it a little bit if he needed to.
But then he was drafted by the Colts, and all that went out the window.
But he was drafted by the Colts, intended to be the heir apparent to Peyton Manning, who they just lost to Denver. So now you get Andrew Luck in. He's lighting it up. He's taking them to, I believe, the AFC Championship against the Patriots. That was the Deflategate game. We all know what happened there. But Andrew Luck was setting himself up to have a really good long career in the NFL and be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. But he got beat up so much, he said, I can't do it. He made a grown man decision and said, I want to be able to spend time with my family, spend time with my kids. I want to be able to walk. I want to be able to move my hands.
And got booed by the fans.
Yes. And now we look back on it and say, man, that was a very smart decision. And you can respect that decision, because we understand how violent this game is. This sport is so violent. That's why they wear pads. That's why they wear helmets. That's why they protect themselves. That's why they have full medical staffs and trainers 24/7 monitoring these guys. In the NFL, at least, they're at the peak of their physical condition.
If the NFL was smart, they would have, as soon as they found out what CTE was, they would have gotten ahead of this. But unfortunately, back then, they were so greedy, they were so just about the money, and that they weren't about the players and the money. And now I think it's a much better medium than it has been in the past.
I would argue against that a little bit, because if the NFL is so, you know, on top of we want the best for these players, we want them to be healthy, we want good football, why are you playing these Thursday night games with two teams that are playing 4 days after a Sunday game?
That's why I said a better medium, because they still do make greedy, stupid decisions. And yes, it's free market, and they have to make good business decisions. But it's a bad idea. It really is a stupid idea. Those Thanksgiving Day games that we all love to watch are fun, but unfortunately, that's such a quick turnaround. You have to play some of those games. You have to have like a Thursday game before that, and then a Thursday, I don't know, give those guys extra rest before maybe play them on a Saturday and then that Thursday, or maybe bye week and then the Thursday game.
Right, and if the NFL was smart, they would figure this out. They have the resources to figure out the scheduling and all that. You should have teams that have a bye and then go into a Thursday night game. So they basically would have two mini byes surrounding that Thursday night game, and from then on you can let them play Sunday, Monday, whatever.
And extend the active game roster. Right now, isn't it, I think, 45? I think the active roster should be 53. That doesn't include the kickers, because they aren't real human beings. And the active day should be more like 50.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think, you know, we might see some changes to Thursday Night Football. I know Amazon they paid for a massive deal for those rights. You know, have it on Amazon Prime to have an exclusive NFL game every single week. I get it. I get the whole money and the business of it. But if the NFL and the NFLPA want to be so in front about player safety, you need to examine Thursday Night Football and playing players on a four-day rest. 4 days is not enough to get to recover and get ready and ramped up for an NFL game. You need more than 4 days. And they're not even practicing during those 4 days, because one team has to travel. That's a whole day that you're missing. you're probably only going to get maybe two walkthroughs in, and those are not at full speed. You got guys in the training room every single day trying to recuperate and get themselves ready, and you're putting these players in a position where they're not even 100% going into these games, and it's putting them at risk. We saw it last night. How many injuries did we see last night? Four, five, six?
And serious injuries.
Serious injuries. Broken legs, concussions. Russell Wilson got tested for concussion protocols. We love NFL football. We love having it during the week because it breaks up the week as we go into the weekend full of football. But Thursday night could be so much better. And the games itself would be better because these teams are rested. 4 days is not enough for these NFL players.
Maybe do the Thursday night, start the Thursday nights, or give one team an extra bye. Oh, I hate to say that because that wouldn't be fair.
Would it be so bad to take this to an 18-week season? With two bye weeks?
I mean,
I get we want football, and I get we want it to still be competitive late in the year, but it's not going to be competitive late in the year if all the star players are hurt in the first 2 months.
I mean, I'm all for having two bye weeks because this is a very long season. And if one team has to have a first week bye week, yeah, it sucks for them. I remember the Broncos having a week four bye week. The Raiders would always complain about that. But if you have to have that so that your team is healthy, by all means, go for it. You don't want to break their bodies. It's not just their heads. It's not just their legs. It's everything. It's every muscle. Every muscle is put into this game of football.
Right, and without time to recover, that puts you at risk for more injuries. And we saw that last night. Well, I assume we're going to continue to see this for Thursday night football as we move forward throughout the season. 1:36 the time, nearing the halfway point. We're going to come back from this. We're going to preview CSU, UNC, Air Force, Wyoming, looking at those four teams. We're going to look at a couple. What are the key points in these games? Can CSU get a win? Can UNC show something positive? Can they do something crazy and beat Sac State? Can Air Force keep it going? Can Wyoming get back to their winning ways? We'll preview all those games coming up next on 1:37 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
1:41 the time. Welcome back to the Allo Communications Studios. My name is Angel Padilla, filling in for Brady today as he took an early day. Did the first hour, kind of let him vent out his frustrations from the Broncos' loss last night. Just the reaction to that. It was bad. It was ugly. It was embarrassing. You had fans leaving the stadium before the game was even over. It's bad. Broncos country, let's cry. But there is hope. I promise you there is hope in our local games. Maybe not a lot of hope, but there's some, definitely some. Let's start off with my team, my Bears, Northern Colorado, 2-3 on the year, 1-1 in the Big Sky. They're on the road, taking on the undefeated Sacramento State Hornets. I would have felt a lot better with this game if the Bears didn't completely fall apart against Idaho last week. 55-35, the loss there. Just the defense could not get off the field. I don't even know if they were on the field to begin with, but they gave up 55 points, over 500-something offensive yards. Just a bad performance. But I will say this for the Bears the last tough couple of weeks. Quarterback Dylan McCaffrey has looked very, very good. They are running a more up-tempo style of offense. Dylan looks so much more comfortable week in and week out. He's running the offense well. He's using his legs a little bit. He looks confident throwing the ball. And that's kind of what we've been waiting to see with Dylan McCaffrey, you know, since he got here last year. And we're starting to see a little bit now. Can the rest of the team pick themselves up? An interesting storyline in this one, Elijah Dotson, the Bears running back, was a transfer from Sacramento State, had a great career there with Sac State, but now he's with the Bears trying to help get this program jump-started a little bit. Can he have a revenge game a little bit? Can he put up some numbers? Can the Bears defense tighten up and stop this Sacramento State offense? Because they're good. They're very good. Look at their schedule so far, their last four games. 56-33 over UTU, some random school. Northern Iowa, they beat them 37-21. We talked about the big one, CSU, 41-10. And then at Cal Poly last week, 49-21. Their last three games, they've been on the road. I don't think their home crowd, I think their home crowd's going to be very excited to have them back home now against the UNC team that's still struggling to find itself. 2-3 on the year. They've looked better and better each week, but that Idaho second half makes you wonder how what's the morale of this team? Did they get a little too, you know, ahead of themselves with those two wins? I don't know. But this is a tough matchup for the Bears at Sac State. Tonight's game, 8:30 kickoff on FS1, Colorado State and Nevada. You heard Kevin Lytle earlier in the last hour talking about the storylines in this one. It starts with Jay Norvell. It starts with the coach who left Nevada last year and took a handful of players with him. We heard the Nevada coach talk about saying some rumors that he heard that Norvell didn't want them playing in the bowl game or having them enter the transfer portal early. Whatever it was, a couple CSU players, you know, responded saying that was a lie. So we'll see. They might be a little bit fired up. I expect them to be fired up and have a little more energy. They're coming off a bye week. He had plenty of time to get ready. Got a couple players back on their offensive line, but it seems like they're going to be missing Clay Millen, the quarterback. And does that make much of a difference? Probably not with the way this offensive line looks. But CU or CSU, you got to start winning at some point. What better opportunity than against Nevada? It's going to be an emotional game, I'm sure, for some of these players. Of course, they transferred from Nevada. Jay Norvell, the coach, trying to rebuild. Really, yes, rebuild CSU at this point. 3.5 road underdogs for the Rams. Again, that game 8:30 on FS1. Back to Saturday, the Air Force Falcons, they're going to be on the road at the Utah State Aggies. Utah State 1-4 on the season. They are not a good team. I saw Alabama beat up on them a few weeks ago. So they're not good. Air Force, they are good. Their quarterback Daniels had a great game last week against Navy. It was a low-scoring physical game, which it usually is between those military schools. But Air Force still looks very good. They're 4-1 overall, 1-1 in the conference. That only lost to Wyoming a couple weeks ago. So I like Air Force to bounce back in this one. 10.5-point favorites on the road. I do like them to cover that. Last game that we're going to look at here, Wyoming and New Mexico. The Cowboys 3-3 on the year. Still, they're just hovering right there at 500. They haven't blown out anybody, but they haven't lost ugly to anybody. They're taking on a New Mexico team that is 2-3 so far this season. Both teams coming in on two-game losing streaks. New Mexico just lost 38-0 to LSU, 31-20 to UNLV. Wyoming, they're coming off a 38-24 loss to BYU, and then a 33-16 loss against San Jose State. So both teams looking to get themselves figured out. I think Wyoming gets the win in this one. They're 3.5-point road favorites. So we'll see how the Cowboys do, if they can bounce back and try to keep themselves in the Mountain West race. Quick update here on baseball. The Phillies and the Cardinals just getting into the top of the sixth. 0-0 is the score. For you baseball fans, I'm sure that's awesome. It's a pitcher's duel for sure with the Phillies and the Cardinals. Arenado, 0-2. Corey Dickerson, 0-2. Couple of ex-Rockies there, not doing so great. MLB playoffs, they're going to continue to keep going. I like the Braves in this series. We saw what they did last year after the All-Star break. Just went on a very good run. Finished out the season with a championship. I do think they do that again this year. So, coming up, we're just going to be wrapping up on the next segment. We're going to get to Brady's picks from yesterday. He did miss the Broncos picks. We're not going to play that one, but we're going to see the rest of his picks for these local games. 1:48 the time. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
There we go. Is this Under Pressure or Vanilla Ice?
It's Queen.
It's Queen. All right. 1:53 the time. Just a couple of minutes here to wrap it up. I'm going to get to Brady's picks real quick. I know he likes Air Force. I know he likes Wyoming. I know he likes Sac State. I know he was still confused about CSU Nevada. This game, I have no idea where to lean on this. You're not really confident about CSU, but you're kind of relying on that emotional factor in this game. Can Jay Norvell get his team excited and hyped up to play on a Friday night in Reno? It is a blackout. It's you versus the world. If they're going to be wearing black, they're wearing it to a funeral. CSU gets their first win of the Jay Norvell era tonight against Nevada. Just a minute to go here. I just want to say thank you to Brady Hull for giving me this opportunity to get behind the mic and host the show for a couple hours. I really appreciate it. It's a part of my goals to hopefully make this a permanent thing at some point. It's good to get some practice with it, of course. But thank you to Micah for filling in my producer role, pressing all the buttons back there. I very much appreciate it. We got football night in Northern Colorado tonight. I will be back here at 6 o'clock in studio for that, as well as the out-of-town scoreboard for all of your preps action tonight on KFK. Kyle Johnson on the call. Greeley West, Greeley Central, in-town rivalry. Get ready. These records don't matter. This is going to be a battle between Greeley West and Greeley Central. Just a minute left. Hope you have an enjoyable weekend watching football. If you're a Broncos fan, I'm sorry. Cry it out. It's going to be okay. You're going to just keep the faith. Russell's going to get you guys out of this. Maybe. I don't know. He looked pretty bad last night. That's all I'll say. For Micah Kilpatrick, for Angel Padilla, for Brady Hull, for the great opportunity, you've been listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Y'all have a good weekend.